It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. So glad you joined me today. We're here every Saturday, same time, same stations, same networks. At any rate, last week we started out by outlining the 9 forbidden practices of the occult, and we're going to continue today talking about the world of the occult and how it is affecting not only the culture but also the church. Those 9 forbidden practices can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. And by the way, all of that is outlined on our website and in the offer that we have going on the radio this week. Same offer we had last week that includes my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, The End Time Occult Invasion, and 3 full-length DVDs chock full of documentation, information, and scriptural insights concerning the world of the occult and what a Christian's biblical response should be to it. We're going to play a long clip from one of those DVDs in a few minutes. While you're listening, you might want to jot down our website address, ericbarger.com. Lots of resources there that deal with all kinds of different discernment issues, and of course, a whole section on the world of the occult as well. Well, as we said last week, we live in a time when the occult has become normal. It's a very interesting and kind of peculiar thing that the occult has become normal all around us. You take a look at the motion pictures, the television shows, the books, the cartoons, the hunger that people have for the world of the supernatural. People are hungering after the supernatural, but sadly not hungering after God. Well, how we respond to this satanic phenomena will either be a blessing or a cursing for us, and it could mean heaven or hell for those around us. So we better have our ducks in a row. We better know how to respond to this phenomena, and there's so much out there to deal with. And you know, I guess one of the things that I've dealt with as much as anything else over the last 10 or 12 years are the Harry Potter novels. You know, we watched each one of these novels become more popular than the last novel and become the world's biggest selling book as it came out. You know, the 4th Harry Potter novel became the fastest selling literary work of all time. That was Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. But in June of 2003, The Order of the Phoenix became the fastest selling book in the history of mankind. And I mean, the figures are phenomenal, the way these books sold. 1.3 million copies in the first 48 hours alone at Barnes & Noble in the United States. That's how fast that book, that 5th book in the Harry Potter series grew. You know, you take a look at how popular something is by how many websites appear on the Internet. And back in June of 2003, I did a little survey one day and found out there were 3,110,000 websites that dealt with Harry Potter. By June of 2004, there were 13,500,000 websites. By October of 2004, 16,500,000 websites. By July of 2005, 42 million Harry Potter websites. By October of 2005, 99 million Harry Potter websites. In July of 2006, 149 million Harry Potter websites. July of 2007, 182 million Harry Potter websites. And finally, in March of 2010, there were 280 million Harry Potter websites on the Internet. Does that in any way connect to let you know how popular this thing is? And you know, whether we can argue about whether it's fantasy or whether it's real occultism, and I can tell you that J.K. Rowling wrote real live occultism into her books. She's also invented a whole new brand of magic as well. But, you know, where does the Bible tell us that we're to test fantasy any different than reality? This is one of the areas that I continue to remind people about concerning the book The Shack. You know, people say, well, it's just fantasy. But, you know, God doesn't tell us to test fantasy any different than he tells us to test reality. We're to test reality and fantasy the same way by using God's word. testing it all. Test everything and hold on to that which is good and avoid every kind of evil, the Bible says. So with all that said, let me remind you about our special. We've got a great special. It's $50 plus shipping. It includes my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, and we've done two updates on that book, a brand new update done this year, a long addendum that was added, a 33,000-word addendum that was added a couple of years ago. And it is a great resource for has lots of different information about a lot of different topics relating to the world of the occult. And I try to do it in a very non-scary way. It's not all about demonology. It's about the world of the occult and how do we deal with this as Christians and how do we affect the lives of others around us concerning this. There's also three DVDs, and they're full-length DVDs. They're my seminar presentations, just like I give live in conferences and in churches across America and across Canada each week. And these three DVD presentations, the first one's called The End Time Occult Invasion, Harry Potter, Pokemon, and Hollywood. I'm going to play a long clip from that one in just a few minutes. The second DVD is called The Hidden World of the Occult and Our Triumph Through the Cross. And the third DVD is called Bible Prophecy and the Occult. And all three cover different ground. They are not a repeat one of another, but those three would be a great resource or a great set of resources for you to be able to have in your home or your church, and certainly to help to make aware those around you, your friends, your loved ones, kids, grandkids, etc. And I hope that you'll make avail of that. It's a great way for you to also support our ministry. We appreciate very much your doing so. We wouldn't be on the air without your support. So we do need that. We covet your support, actually, and we appreciate it very much. Again, that special is $50, and there's a couple other resources we'll add to that as well. There'll be a couple of good pamphlets, one on the Twilight series and one on Halloween that I'm sure will be of interest to you as well. You know, the Twilight series, just think about that. Think about the fascination that teenage girls have with vampires now because of this particular series. And, you know, what we really haven't thought about is the fact that anybody who glorifies the idea of being a vampire, this is really a mockery of the cross of Jesus Christ. Vampires need blood to live. Well, we need the blood of Jesus Christ to live. We need the blood of the Lamb to be able to live. And I think we really need to understand that this is a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, I want to go ahead and play a clip for you. And again, this is a clip from the DVD, The End Time Occult Invasion, Harry Potter, Pokemon, and Hollywood. And this really will help sum up what I have to say about Harry Potter. And rather than get into all the details about what Harry Potter does in the books and what Harry Potter did in the movies and what all of his different adversaries and what all of his different friends have done in the books and movies, what we really want to look at is how to handle this as Christians and about the genre of the world of the occult and what Harry Potter has done and how he has introduced the occult to us as being kind of a normal thing. Remember, Harry Potter is a hero, and the heroes, as I'm going to point out, are doing the same things today that the villains did when I was a little boy. That ought to concern us. So with all that said, let's go ahead and play the clip, and I'll be back in a few minutes. You better believe that witches and wizards are excited about the acceptance of Harry Potter in our culture. They know that it's good for what they believe. The Pagan Federation of the United Kingdom said this: they have appointed a youth officer to deal with the flood of inquiries following the success of the Harry Potter books, which describe magic and wizardry. The Federation says the Potter books by J.K. Rowling and occult-themed TV shows had probably sparked a new flood of interest. Media officer Andy Norfolk for the Pagan Federation said, quote, "It is quite probably linked to things like Harry Potter, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Every time an article on witchcraft or paganism appears, we had a huge surge in calls, mostly from young girls," end quote, trying to find out how to become a witch, trying to find out how they could involve themselves in the world of the supernatural darkness of the occult. Now, the Harry Potter characters engage, look at this list, they engage in virtually every conceivable occult practice and teaching. They engage in drunkenness and cursing.
They engage in lying, dishonesty, revenge, and relative standards for ethics, morals, and integrity. And folks, I'm talking about the heroes in the Harry Potter series. I'm talking about the good characters in the Harry Potter series. I am not just talking about the bad characters. That's what the good characters do. As we pointed out a while ago about Pokemon, we say the same thing about Harry Potter. It is a relative standard of morals where the heroes and the villains use the same practices. Here are two pro-Potter arguments I get all the time. First, Harry is supposed to be on the side of good, and second, the books encourage kids to read. Are we just looking for someone who's a hero? Are we just looking for a way to get our young people to finally sit down and open the pages of something and read it? Listen, if all we're interested in is just getting our kids to read, you know, I can imagine you can get a 14-year-old boy to read pretty quick if you give him Playboy or Penthouse. Is that all we're interested in? Educators say, but Harry Potter's encouraging our kids to read. Parents say, my kids are reading instead of watching TV. Harry Potter, however, is actually the perfect introduction into witchcraft. With a hero readers fall in love with, it offers a single element that the flesh secretly desires. Yours and mine, we both secretly desire it. We desire power. And we're going to get it from one of two sources, either from God or from our own flesh, which of course, the three enemies of mankind, the world, the flesh, and the devil, fits right in with Satan's plan. Harry Potter should be a no-brainer if we'll just follow Scripture. When my partner Dave Benoit first gave me his outline for our book, I kind of questioned why we should talk about Harry Potter. I said, don't all Christians know that the occult is evil, that this stuff we should stay away from? And then I kind of realized what I'd said and realized I guess maybe Christians don't, because Christians don't read the Bible like they ought to. They certainly don't hide it in their hearts like they ought to. We all have the problem of time in the day we live in, the workaday world and the fast-paced society that we are part of. But it's still no excuse before God when we stand before His throne. Why would Christians want to defend Harry Potter? We're going to have some who are liberals, that is, people who claim to be Christians but don't believe the Bible. And if they don't believe the Bible, how can they claim to be Christians? It's only by name. It's not by experience. It's not because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we know that seminaries have been taken over. Whole denominations have been taken over. Pulpits that once preached the Word of God no longer preach the Word of God. I believe liberalism, calling itself Christianity, is the biggest cult in the history of the world and will take more people to hell than all the cults and Satanists could ever do that combined. So I know that a lot of liberals are going to defend Harry Potter. I know that because my wife and I, after we became Christians through the work of a Christian marriage counselor, were attending a little church around the corner from our house up in Seattle, Washington. And it was a very liberal little church. And we came to the Halloween party and the pastor's wife was dressed like a witch. That told us everything. And we knew that most of the people in that church, God bless them, we knew, though, that they had not had the kind of experience we'd had being delivered from darkness. And the morning I was saved, I was delivered from a $1,000 a week cocaine addiction. I know what it's like, folks. I know what it's like to have God take that away from you and never go through withdrawals, because I know what the Holy Spirit did in my life. Anyway, we know that some liberals will defend Harry Potter and Pokemon and the other things. And there are some who would just want to test God. The Bible says, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. However, we know there are some in the evangelical world who will say, bless God. Man, when I was a kid, my dad wouldn't let me watch those shows, and I couldn't listen to rock music. And I'm going to prove to my kids that I'm cool, and they can do these things, and we're going to go to church, and we'll be Christians. They're anti-legalism. That's what they are. And you know, holiness and legalism seem awfully close together, but they're miles apart. One leads to bondage. The other leads to freedom. One leads to peace. The other leads to a lack of joy in your life. And so it's the anti-legalism movement. And then there's Christians who stand against evil, such as Harry Potter. You and I, we'd be branded like fanatics and kooks, you know, and other people, you know, they don't want to be around us, you know, and they say, I don't want to be around those people, so I'm not going to relate to what they relate to. I'm not going to talk about this stuff. I'm not going to talk about these things. You know, we don't want to be persecuted, and we're afraid of men. We walk in the fear of men because we won't stand up and stand for something. And of course, the old saying is, stand for something or fall for everything.
Hi, everybody. Eric Barger here, back in the studio. Just wanted to say you're listening to Take a Stand Radio. This is the message, The End Time Occult Invasion, Harry Potter, Pokemon, Hollywood. We'll get right back to the message right now.
Here are three good reasons why I believe Harry Potter needs to go. First of all, the books are occultic. Harry Potter is a warlock in training, a good wizard. There's occult imagery and practices throughout the books. Now, let me point out there is no such thing as a good wizard. Years ago, when I was researching the Satanic Bible, I was researching what Anton Saint LaVey had written in the Satanic Bible. And I heard an interview of LaVey on television where he made the statement, there is no such thing as white magic, it's all black. Now, I never agreed with anything else he ever said, but that statement I agree with. There is no such thing as white magic, it is all black. Number two, Harry Potter promotes an anti-God, anti-parent attitude in the writings, what is taught in the Harry Potter series. Normal people are treated as if they're somehow odd or weird or dull or nerd-like. They're called muggles in the book. A muggle is somebody who is non-magical and does not believe in magic. You and I would be muggles, even though we do believe that magic exists. By the way, I believe the occult works, but it's by what spirit it works. You know, I believe Satanism works. The New Age works. Psychic powers, to a certain extent, work. But to what extent? You know, and also by what spirit? That's the questions we have. So we're made to look like we're muggles, but wizards are made to look like they're fascinating, intelligent, and cool. Number three, the swearing, the violence, and the relativism in the Potter series should be enough. Forget the witchcraft. Forget the occultism. Forget the argument about whether Harry Potter is teaching our kids about the occult. Look at the swearing, violence, and relativism. Those aspects should be enough to have Christians say, no, we're not going to let our kids get involved with this. Now, folks, up until now, a lot of you have agreed with what I've said. Those who are watching by film right now, you've agreed with a lot of what I said. However, when I get to this next little thing, it may bother you because I'm going to step on the nostalgia button of anybody my age and older. Do you know the reason we have the blatant acceptance of witchcraft and occultism in our entertainment world and our culture today? It's because we had Cinderella, Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs, Fantasia, you name it. You think about where it's come from. You think about what Disney pushed to us, the white and black magic, the Wizard of Oz. We talk about this in the book. It's got to be mentioned here. That's how we got to where we are. Can you imagine how many other people are out there right now trying to write the next Harry Potter series? We already know of a man named Philip Pullman, who's a million-selling author, who says the reason he's writing is to destroy the work of Christianity. So we know that there are many others. Some are going to have great success, maybe never the success of the Harry Potter series. How many other children's heroes do you see on the front cover of Time magazine? Anyway, here's the truth that Harry Potter fans want to ignore. Harry Potter is acceptable for you and I if we don't mind our kids reading what I believe is spiritual pornography. And if we don't mind taking the chance, they will become spiritual adulterers. And you say, Eric, that's pretty strong language. You better believe it is, because I believe so strongly about what I'm speaking about to you here. I believe this is going to be a huge detriment in the lives of people in our world. I'm going to take the stand on this. I am going to stand out at the edge of the cliff, so to speak, and say, I'm going to shout this as loud as I can that whoever will listen, I want them to hear me. This is spiritual pornography. This means we're involving our kids and our lives, our homes, with being spiritual adulterers if we accept Potter as a hero. And the issue, again, is not whether all who read Harry Potter books will become witches or get involved in the occult. The issue for you and I, and listen to me very clearly, the issue for you and I is spiritual purity. That's what the issue is for you and I. Now, the next slide I'm going to show you, Dave and I really, with fear and trembling, wondered how are we going to talk about C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. And I think the best thing I can say for you is this. When C.S. Lewis wrote over 60 years ago, he was not facing the organized endorsement of the occult from nearly every venue that we're seeing in our world today. It was a different world then. And you and I can read the allegories that Lewis and Tolkien wrote. And we can see the typology of Jesus and the story of Christ in these stories. But quite frankly, do not give a C.S. Lewis or J.R.R. Tolkien book to your friendly next door New Ager and expect it to be a witness tool. You know, they're going to think you're more like them than they ever dreamed once they read the book that you've given them because of the type storyline it is. You and I might be able to read the books. I am not endorsing you do it. I don't think these books are acceptable for everybody today, especially for some who are trying to flee the world of witchcraft and the occult, just to come over to find out there is fantasy literature in the world of Christianity that has some of these images in it. And I have problems. Honestly, I have problems with C.S. Lewis. I have problems with what Tolkien wrote. And I realize I'm called a non-intellectual by some of the more intellectuals in the church today. But frankly, I think we need a bold picture of who Jesus is in the world today. We don't need some allegory to share with our families. We need to share the truth of who Jesus is boldly, the Lion who is coming to set the world free, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, the next statement at the bottom of this slide is an important one. I want you to look at it and think about it. This is what I believe. The lack of a unified Christian position from our leaders about issues like Harry Potter will prove not just to be detrimental, but they'll prove to be devastating in the coming decade. Folks, there is an occult explosion going on around us. The church must unify and vigorously stand against New Age, neo-pagan occultism. Maybe it really comes back to roost at our doorstep. One figure says 70% of those turning to witchcraft today claim they were raised in Christian homes. Another Gallup poll, matter of fact, 14 years ago said 75% of those turning to the modern New Age movement claim they were raised in Christian homes. Folks, if those two figures are half wrong, and it's only 7 out of 20 turning to witchcraft, that would still be an astounding number, wouldn't it? If they say they came from Christian homes, if those 7 say they were raised in a Christian environment. Now, we can't climb into each one of their heads and find out what does that mean to be a Christian. A lot of people will claim to be a Christian, but they really don't know Jesus. But these are people who are now fleeing away from Christianity, and they're heading toward witchcraft and the New Age movement. Could it be because they've never seen a changed life when they looked into a Christian's eyes? Could it be because they've come to church and heard some dead sermon in some dead church with a bunch of dead church people that do not stand for anything and go out in the culture and live like the devil 6 days a week? Could it be that it comes back to roost on our doorstep as to why the occult is growing? Could it be because pastors don't stand up and preach the truth about the occult often enough? And by the way, I don't think pastors ought to stand up every Sunday and preach on the cults of the New Age and the stuff I preach on. It's not that that would put me out of a job. That's not what I'm worried about. It's just that would be out of balance. They need to bring you the whole counsel of God, and I'm only a small part of that. But it's the fact that we have skirted around this issue and refused to talk about things that have become sacred idols and sacred cows to our church people for whatever political reason. And it's a travesty.
Hi, folks. Eric Barger once again back in the studio. You know, as I've been listening to this, I've just been thinking that God honors the fact that we stand against the forces of darkness. There are a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, certainly a lot of pastors who decided to run the other direction when it comes to confrontation with evil. But we're called to do that. As we do that for the Lord, God honors it by seeing the lost saved and people delivered from the powers of Satan. So it's really a mission that we're on as the church body to see captives get set free. We're just not here just to kind of occupy space. We're here to try to get people to go to heaven with us. And we want to do that actively and take a proactive stance in spiritual warfare concerning the forces of the occult. The occult is going to rise in the day that we live in because we are in the end of the end days. This doesn't mean that we become pacifistic. It doesn't mean that we become fatalistic about it. We stand against evil whenever and wherever we see it. Well, folks, my time's about up, but before it is, I want to remind you to get this terrific package of information from us. You can call our number, 214-289-5244, or go to our website, ericbarger.com, and get this information. It includes my newly updated book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, nearly 300 pages, A Christian Perspective on the World of the Occult. Also, the 3 full-length DVDs, The End Time Occult Invasion, Hidden World of the Occult, and Bible Prophecy and the Occult. Folks, this has been Eric Barger. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for your support. This ministry is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas. I'll talk to you next week. God bless you.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
Hi, everybody. Eric Barger here. I surely appreciate your support of Take a Stand Radio. To know that so many of our friends here on the CSN Network are standing with us is a great encouragement. You know, presenting our live seminars across the U.S. and Canada some 200 days each year can be draining. But it is terrific to see how folks just like you join together to meet the financial needs of Take a Stand. As we begin our 29th year of full-time ministry, our goal remains the same as it was in the very beginning: to see the lost saved and the church changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your prayers and support make that a reality. Don't forget to order our special occult awareness package. It'll be a great resource for you and your family and church. It's only $50 plus shipping. It's a great way to support our ministry as well. Visit ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. I'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.